2007, a proclamation by the President of the United States of America. Throughout our history, America has been protected by patriots who cherish liberty and make great sacrifices to advance the cause of freedom. The brave members of the United States Armed Forces have answered the call to serve our nation, ready to give all for their country. On Veterans Day, we honor these extraordinary Americans for their service and sacrifice. We pay tribute to the legacy of freedom and peace that they have given our great nation. In times of war and of peace, our men and women in uniform step forward to defend their fellow citizens and the country they love. They shoulder great responsibility and lived up to the highest standards of duty and honor. Our veterans held fast against determined and ruthless enemies and helped save the world from tyranny and terror. They ensured that America remained what our founders meant her to be, a light to the nation spreading the good news of human freedom to the darkest corners of the earth. Like the heroes gone before them, today a new generation of men and women are fighting for freedom around the globe. Their determination, courage, and sacrifice are laying the foundation for a more secure and peaceful world. Veterans Day is dedicated to the extraordinary Americans who protected our freedom in years past and to those who protect it today. They represent the very best of our nation. Every soldier, sailor, airman, Marine, and Coast Guardsman has earned the lasting gratitude of the American people, and their service and sacrifice will be remembered forever. In the words of Abraham Lincoln, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle. On this Veterans Day, I ask all Americans to express their appreciation to our nation's veterans. With respect for and in recognition of the contributions our servicemen and women have made to the cause of peace and freedom around the world, the Congress has provided that November the 11th of each year shall be set aside as a legal public holiday to honor our nation's veterans. Now, therefore, I, George W. Bush, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim November 11th, 2007 as Veterans Day, and urge all Americans to observe November the 11th through the 17th as National Veterans Awareness Week. I encourage all Americans to recognize the valor and sacrifice of our veterans through ceremonies and prayers. I call upon federal, state, local officials to display the flag of the United States and to support and to participate in patriotic activities in their communities. I invite civil and fraternal organizations, places of worship, schools, businesses, unions, and the media to support this national observance with commemorative expressions and programs. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 31st day of October, the year of our Lord 2007, and of the independence of the United States of America, 232nd, George W. Bush. We are so thankful for our veterans who have fought and are fighting for us and for our freedom. We're blessed. We take it for granted a lot of times to be able to do exactly what we're doing this very moment in time. And it's because of the men and the women who have fought for that right to be able to do this. So we want to recognize our veterans and our enlisted men and women who are currently serving in the United States military, and we're going to ask you to stand at this time. If you would, Brother Matt. Okay. Now we're going to do one more thing. We're going to ask you to step out from where you are and line up the front here. We want to let everybody see how pretty you are and let us express our gratitude to you. So come forward.
I know the power of the world is This time we're going to ask our little folks to come sing for us.
I'm never gonna let you go.
had your Bibles with you this morning, we'd invite you to turn to the 15th chapter of St. Luke. Luke chapter 15. Appreciate very much the singing this morning. It was beautiful. Sandra and I were talking, Sandra Moore and I were, whenever the adult choir, the old folks, was going up into the choir. And she and I both agreed that it was going to be tough to top the younger choir singing. I don't know if we made it or not. It sure did feel good, though. Did you ever have one of them mornings where nothing goes right? I've tied it once since I've been here. I don't know how many times I tied it at home. It was too short, it was too long, and I don't know if it is now or not. I think I brought about four or five different ties before Robin this morning to see if any of them would be okay. And maybe the one on the left and not the one on the right, but the one in the middle, maybe. That's the way that my morning went before I got here. But I had a wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning. Did you? I was privileged to be able to go into the new class that was started this morning. And not to give him any honor, but Joey, you did a wonderful job for the Lord. And we had a good time in the Lord and learned more about him. Basically, and I don't know what your lesson was, but basically what our lesson was is don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And whether we realize it or not, God is in control.
Amen.
We read something about 2 weeks ago, a little daily devotion that gets sent to us, and we appreciate that very, very much. And it caused us to think, and the topic or the moral of the devotion that day was compassion cures more sin than condemnation. And if you don't take anything else home with you today, I pray that you'll take that home with you. Compassion cures more sin than condemnation. Let's read in the 15th chapter of St. Luke in the 25th verse. This is very familiar scripture to you Bible scholars. And a lot of times we focus on the prodigal son. We focus on the father and the younger brother, but a lot of times we forget about the older brother. And we want to think about him this morning. 25th verse reads like this. Now, his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. It would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. May God richly add his blessing to the reading of his word. Compassion cures more sin than condemnation. I don't know if you're like me. A lot of times I look and I see and I say, well, boy, oh, so-and-so over there, he is really messing up, and I don't believe I'll have anything to do with him anymore. Or even better than that, a lot of times what we like to do is we'll see somebody in sin, or maybe somebody who has stumbled by the way, and the first thing we'll do is we'll call up our neighbor, our friend, and say, "You'll never believe what I saw so-and-so do."
That's right.
We won't, a lot of times we want to condemn folks. We want to find fault in folks. Compassion cures more sin than condemnation. I thought about this, and my Lord and Savior, and I hope and pray that your Lord and Savior too, as He hung on the cross at Calvary, as He died for my sins, and He died for your sins, and He died for the sins of the whole world, Jesus, as He looked at that Roman soldier that had no doubt plaited that crown of thorns and placed them on His head, and the blood began to come forth. Those Roman soldiers that had beat Him, those folks that were, as the Bible said, Kenny, they were wagging their tongue, they were making fun of Jesus. Some of them even looked up and they said, "If you are the King of the Jews, if you are who you say you are, then come down from the cross." And even one of the thieves that hung there with Him said, "Jesus looked at all of those His accusers and those that were around there, and I believe He knew He was the one that invented compassion. He said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" Listen, church, today, you and I, God has given us the common sense, and He's given us the spirit to be able to discern between try to get them back into the house of God. And that is that you and I would show them a compassion, a glory. One time, Jesus had gone to eat with some sinners. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes and all the different religions that day, you know what they were really very pious. They looked at other people and they said, "We're dressed up according to the law. We followed every jot and every tittle. And now look at these people. We're so much better than they are." Listen, I'll tell you what, as I stand before you this morning, Silver City Baptist Church, as I stand friends this morning, I'm nothing other than a sinner who was saved by God's marvelous grace and glory. I'm glad that there was compassion shown to me one time when I needed compassion. Tim, when was that? That's when, Joe, you talked about it this morning. That was when I reached the darkest time of my life. When sin had overcome me to the point that I knew that if I were to die, in hell I'd live my eyes, because I didn't know who the Savior was, who was this Master of compassion. Bless your heart, compassion will cure sin every time. Compassion, it'll make you love your neighbor, and it'll make your neighbor love you. Several years ago, we were getting ready for vacation Bible school, and we were announced
sing, how for everybody to come, how in joining Bible school, how and the Lord showed me, how I begin to announce it this way and by the folks this way, how I would say to the church, church, how bring your friends, how the vacation Bible school, how bring your enemies, how the vacation Bible school. Will become a friend. And I'll tell you what else could happen too. How that friend could become a brother in Jesus Christ. How the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the religious leaders that day. Is this good? I'll tell you what it is to me. I thank God for His Spirit that I'm able to feel. There was a sinner that asked Jesus, said, come home and eat supper with me. Jesus said, okay. And he did. You know what? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they can't you almost see them just peeking in through the window to see what Jesus was doing? To see what they were talking about, to see where he was sitting, to see where he was eating. Listen, I'll tell you what. They went out and they told the people of that day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, why, this man, he can't be any good. He eats with sinners. Woo, glory, I'm glad that Jesus loves sin today. If he hadn't a wrestle, I wouldn't be where I am today. Thank God that he shows compassion, that Jesus chose to associate with sinners. I don't know, you may have to go home and read about the prodigal son yourself. I don't know, maybe. I remember one time how Jesus was there in the city. Here comes the Pharisees again, the Sadducees, the better than everybody else is. Here they come. We're looking for somebody to condemn. We're looking for somebody to put down. I don't know if they thought it made them feel bigger or what it was. But they found a woman who they had caught in the very act of adultery. You know what they did? They said, well, we'll get her. I don't know what they did with the man. Have you ever thought about that? They must have just let him go. They brought the woman who'd been caught in the act of adultery. And they brought her to Jesus. And they said, Jesus, you know what the law says. That anybody that's caught in the act of adultery, that they should be stoned. Bless your heart. What Jesus did. The Bible said that he knelt down. And he just simply began to write in the dirt. You know what? Kenny, I believe that he did. I believe he began to show her the cross. I believe that he began to show her that compassion that he had for her. The compassion that he had for the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Listen, I even gave them as an example of a base. He said, excelled. You do better than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, you'll not even be able to get into heaven. He said, put them up. He said, you got to do better than they've done. They followed the law to the jot and to the tittle. But he said, there's more to it. I'll tell you what. Today, church, I'll tell you what, today, lost person, how everyone under the sound of my voice, how if you're trying, how to work your way into heaven through your good works, how you want to miss it, how yes you are, how you need, how you must have the compassion of Jesus Christ because it cures the sins of the world. John 3:17. We forget about it, don't we? We like to quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might not perish but have everlasting life. But I'll tell you what I like. Michael, I like it where he said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. How about that through Him, how the whole world might be saved. There's no condemnation in Jesus Christ today. Bless your heart. If Jesus began to show that adulterous woman compassion, He looked up at the accusers and He said, those of you that are without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. Church today, which one of us is without sin, that we might be able to accuse? Which one of us is without sin that we might be able to condemn? This son, we're going to get the little woman out of there in just a minute. Go back to that chapter there in Luke and see where the younger brother had told his father. He said, Father, give me everything that I got coming to me. Give me my inheritance. And the Bible said that his father gave it to him. And he went out and he spent it on riotous living. He gambled it away. He spent it on harlots. There's no telling what kind of sin that the young man spent all of his living on. He woke up one day and you know where he was. He was down in the very hog pits. He was there with the swine. And listen, I'll tell you what, on top of that, when he said he can't get no worse, he got worse. How many times have we said it can't get any worse than what it already is? Bless your heart, you better be careful. It's going to get worse. Listen, lost person, this morning, you may be saying, it can't get any worse. I've had folks deny to me that there was a literal burning hell. They said, Tim, we believe that hell is what we spend here on this earth. I want you to know this morning, church and lost person, friends, that there is a literal burning hell that's made for the Satan's angels. And that's the only one that is made for. But if you don't accept the compassion of Jesus Christ, if you're not saved, the Bible said that you'll go there, that you'll go as an intruder to that place today. Compassion. That little old boy, that young man woke up there in the, with the swine. I don't know if any of you have or not. My father-in-law and brother-in-law used to raise pigs, hogs, a few years back. And I'll tell you, that was the nastiest stinking thing I believe I've ever saw in my life. There was nothing glamorous about the job. I remember several nights my brother-in-law would call me and he'd have a sow that was trying to have pigs, trying to have babies, and I'd have to go help him. And I'll tell you, it wasn't pretty. Listen, that's where that young man woke up, in all the mud, in all the dirt, in all the slime. And on top of that, as we said, it got worse. The Bible said that there was a famine in the land. Listen, they didn't have enough for the food that they fed to the swine. He was over there in the hog trough, eating with the hogs, so that he might be able to live. Oh, don't you know it's been easy for that dear old dad at home? Do I just say, well, he got himself in that condition, so I just go and just forget about him. I fulfill my obligation to him. But you know what? I believe that dear old dad, every morning when he got up, I believe he'd go out and he'd begin to look and see if that son was coming home. I believe that he had compassion on him. I believe that he was a praying dad, that every night and every morning that he got up or before he went to bed, that he'd pray, Lord, if it be possible, would you send my son back to me? I know you, dear old saints of God, prayers before for your children and your grandchildren, that God might bring them back into the fold. Listen, I'm a firm believer what the Bible says, that train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, I will not depart from it. I want you to see me this morning. I know that there's living proof today of that proverb. I was trained up in the way that I should go. Bless your heart. I departed from it. Don't you do that, young people. You hold on to Jesus. Don't you depart from that teaching in God's Word. Bless your heart, though. I had a dear mom and dad that would pray for me. Listen, I want to relay this story to you. And I know our time's fast running out. But listen, I remember one night I come home from doing some things that I shouldn't have been doing. Doing some things that my mom and dad wouldn't have been proud of. That Jesus wouldn't have been proud of. I came in, I got out of my car, and opened the door into the house, and tiptoed through the living room, into the bedroom, changed into my pajamas, got into bed, pulled out the covers, and I just said to myself, phew, I made it. Mother don't know. Daddy don't know. Sister don't know what I've been doing. And bless your heart. Just as soon as I thought that, the Lord spoke to me. He said, yes, they may not know, but he said, I know. Listen to that, church. Passion for you. He loves you. Barry sings, leads a song a lot of time. Why? Coming home. Coming home. Listen, I'll tell you what. It's never too late to come home to Jesus Christ. He's just like the Father in this story. He's sitting there with outstretched arms, just waiting for you to come home. Well, he came home. You know what happened? Well, the father said, this my son that was dead is alive again. This my son that was lost is found. He said, kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. He said, let's make merry. Listen, I'll tell you what, church. If we can have compassion on our friends, if we can have compassion on our brothers and sisters in Christ, I'll tell you what, there'll be a great day of rejoicing for you and I. Listen, the older brother, he was mad. He wanted to condemn him. He said, how could you do those things? How could you forgive?
forgive him. Listen, I'll tell you how. Church, and it'll be the same way. When you have compassion, it'll be through the love of Jesus Christ that you do these things. Folks say, the other folks, when they do a good deed, how in the world could you do that for him? I'll tell you how they do it. It's because they love Jesus. I've wondered so many times. Silver City, I'll go ahead and share it with you. I don't see how in the world that you could love me and be so good to me the way that you have. You know, but I do know this morning how you can do it. It's because you love God so much that it can't help. I must spill out to those around you. Keep it up. Be compassionate. Share the love of God. Jesus was there with the adulterous woman. He said, those of you that have are without sin, cast the first stone. From the oldest down to the youngest, they begin to walk away. Can't you see them with their old head hanging down? Well, I know I've sinned. I'm not without any sin. That's what he said. Jesus still showing that little woman compassion, showing her the cross. He looked up. He said, woman, where are those of thine accusers? She said, Lord, there are none. And I love what Jesus told her. Chuck, you know what he said? He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Brother Barry, come get a song. Listen this morning. Go and sin no more. Jesus has not come to your heart today as he pricked your little heart. Let you know that you're lost. Let you know that you need him in your life. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. If he did, we'd be without a hope and we'd all be on our way to hell. But he came to show you compassion. He came to show you compassion that would cure your sins if you would only accept him. She said, Lord, there are none. There's no accusers here. Nobody's left but me and you. Go. Sin no more. Tim, when you were saved, did you ever sin again? Bless your heart. I'm ashamed to admit that I have. And I'm glad what the Bible says that I have an advocate with the Father, the man, Jesus Christ. I can go to him and get more compassion time after time. I'll humble my heart. Repent. I can get more compassion. We want to invite you this morning. If you're here, if you're lost, come to this altar and be saved. We want to invite you this morning. If you've wandered far from home, if you saved 30, 40 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we want to invite you if you need some compassion. Come and talk to Jesus. You know what I'd be thinking if I heard a preacher say that? Well, boy, them people are going to be wanting to know what the world I've done this last week, these past years. They're going to make fun of me. Compassion cures more sins than condemnation. Come, Holy Spirit. What's your number?
511.